Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
As many of you may know, I have been on a slow boat moving into my house, and I've been so stressed out about how I'm going to decorate and what is going on in my hallways. Thankfully, Framebridge has come into my life. I can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store. I can't wait to visit one of their locations. I'm going to take in some of my old concert stubs so I can hang it in my office. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Ever think those fables and fairy tales from back in the day are just a little bit dusty? Wandery and Tinkercast are bringing you a new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Join host DJ Fuch and his trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as they deliver remixes of fables and folk tales, rhythm and rhymes, and fun spins on classics as old as time. Grab the whole family and get ready to groove, because they're putting the rap in Rapunzel and getting down with that funky duckling. Where hip-hop and fables meet, it's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to all episodes of Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Welcome to the Think Loud Crew podcast, where there is no longer three mothers. There is three of us from Turbo Fit keeping it real. And we're going to give y'all the spill on the app.
I'm done. If only you guys saw us argue about
kicking
this
y'all
intro.
Off one by one.
Like, how did we not
make the cut?
He
didn't even introduce
cut?
Us.
Anyways.
They know you guys.
Hi, guys. Today we are joined by Zach, you can see, or here. And then we've also got with us Turhan and David from Turbo Fit. Some of you guys may know David already as All-American Dave. That is our stepdad.
All-American
retired fire captain.
Ex-football player.
Ex-football player, yes.
Are you supposed to call it an ex-football player or, like, retired or, like, stopped football player? Okay.
Ex-football.
He played.
I didn't want it to make it sound so harsh.
Definitely wasn't there long enough to retire.
Damn.
That's like there's a difference there.
There's a difference.
Oh. I learned something. Okay, so our idea is, and you guys can tell me if it's a bad idea or a good idea. Actually, you can't because this is already uploading by the time you're listening to it. So if it's a bad idea, keep it to yourselves. Anyway, we have them all here.
They gotta say who Turhan is.
I know, we're getting there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, ready.
Turhan is Turbo Fit. With Dave, the Tur.
I'm done.
He's the Tur, and Dave is the bow.
Dave's the bow for Baudry.
That could be the fit. There we go. Yeah. And my idea is that this is going to be a two-part episode. Yeah, this is going to be the first episode. Next week, you guys can get the second part of the episode. This first part, I really want you guys to get to know Turhan, David, and Zach. You guys know Zach, and you know David, but I don't think you really know their sports backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Who wants to be in the hot seat first? Do we go oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest?
Youngest to oldest.
God
Damn.
Dang.
I'll kick it off.
Best for last.
Y'all already know me, Zach. I went to Culver City High School. I played football. I ran track. Well, before that, I started playing football. I don't even know what age that was. It was Pop Warner football. I was playing tennis before that. Ever since I put a helmet on, never went back
to tennis.
Never.
Dang.
I know. Yeah, I didn't pick a racket up ever after that. Not one
How
time.
Did your
Maybe
dad
to play.
And your dad was on the.
He was a the head tennis coach at the at Westchester Park at the time.
And his dad
Riviera,
was a
professional tennis
player.
Professional doubles player. He traveled the world playing tennis. So, you know, he kind of bred me to play tennis and follow after his footsteps.
Like, no. But
the contact sport took over. Tennis is still fun, though. I love playing it. Yeah. So football happened. I ran track. I ran the 4x1, 4x4, open 2, open 4.
Do you guys know these terms?
I do.
Yeah,
David said it with such confidence.
It sounds like a foreign language to me.
I did a lot of track, and the thing is, I did not want to run track, but at Culver, track was mandatory if you play football, any like skill position. If you're any like a skilled position, then you need to run track. They just make you just to stay in shape and to keep you healthy and, you know,
proper form,
everything, you know, it plays a role in football. So
I guess,
but it sounded like you ran a lot of
I ran a lot of races because it was fun. I used to like, you know, all the, what were they called? What were the big track meets called? Invitationals. I used to love the invitationals. Those were fun. Mount Sac and Arcadia, running all those. So
were you fast?
Yes, I was pretty fast. I mean, I did well. I was fast, but there was, you know, there was cats that was fast. We was running against.
Levels. Okay, Dave has known Zach since Zach was how old, David?
I don't know. 9, 10, or younger.
Yeah, it might, probably Pop Warner days. Yeah, around then, 9, 10. Eight. Yeah.
So was he fast, Dave?
He was fast. He was fast.
I wish I could find, like, the old footage, but, like, Pop Warner days, it wasn't fair.
What do you mean fair?
I would just be every single person. Pop Warner was easy growing up. And then until, you know, you get to high school, you start meeting people that are your size, your speed, and your capabilities. So shit got real.
Yeah.
But I was still good.
Yeah.
I had, you know, shit, every Pac-12 school at the time looking at me. Oregon was of my interest. That's where I was going to go. But, you know, things happen. Grades happen. Injuries happen. Ended up going to Fullerton Junior College. Was playing there. Tore my hamstring again for the second time. And after that, I just hung my cleats up. I was just done, you know. Depression settled in, and shit got real.
Yeah.
Couldn't play sports no more. So,
when you were playing sports, do you think it kept you out of trouble? Or kept you out of things to get involved into?
It did, but then I always found my way, you know, I just found my way in trouble. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
The streets are calling you.
Yeah.
Come out and play.
I wish I just would have locked in because, you know, I always seen the kids that went to school, did everything they were supposed to do, did it by the book, didn't go out, didn't party. And then there was my group. We partied, did it all. But that group, you know, prospered. They made it to the NFL and started doing things. So I saw the difference. I always wish I could go back and do it again. Mm-hmm. I would do it differently, but, you know, I'm content where I'm at.
Now that you kind of see how it has played out, if someone asked you, like, how important is fitness or how important is it to, like, put that level of discipline into your body, what would your answer be?
That, you know, it's something you need to do. It's very important. It plays you. As a kid, I never thought, you know, they used to tell me before everything, stretch. It went in one ear and out the other, never really stretched. I would stretch, but I wouldn't, you know, stretch the way I was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, I tore my hamstring, and that's the reason why I couldn't play anymore. So it's things that you hear as a kid, it all comes to light, you know, when you get older, because then that's when it starts trickling down and you start having an effect in your life. So I don't know. It messed me up. It was tough hearing it all from my dad and then seeing it all play out.
What do you mean hearing it?
Like, you know, you need to stretch. You need to take everything serious. You need to go to class. You need to do this. You need to do that. So,
yeah.
You just got to take it serious. But I'd say fitness, your overall health is very important.
Yeah. All right.
I was going to say, what do you do now to kind of keep?
Ooh, Peloton and TurboFit, baby. Yeah, nah, but Peloton helped me lose like 20 pounds. Intermittent fasting, Dave put me on. That really helps. Mm-hmm. I did that for a little bit. I kind of broke that, but I'd say those two things really, you know, they helped me a lot. I lost 20 pounds in like a month.
Yeah, and I think like, well, not so much for him, but for me drinking. Like, I love to drink wine, and I stopped drinking wine. Like, I was drinking wine, like, not every night, but, like, every other night slash every night. And I could really see the difference within, like, the fasting and everything. But just that, the way my body feels, like, besides the fact that I have the worst sinuses right now, but, like, everything else feels great.
Your energy level could be completely different.
That's still zapped, but... Yeah, I would say it's getting better, but between, like, two kids and our house, I think I'll never have real energy. But I don't know. I think it's just interesting to hear Zach talk about his background with sports and stuff, because I know it is, like, a subject that we, not a sore subject, but definitely a subject that, like, I don't like necessarily bringing up, because I do know that you are affected by it.
Oh no, I'm good now. Before I was, I didn't watch football. I didn't talk about it. I couldn't turn the TV on and look at ESPN. So now I can watch it. Huh. I mean, I'm trying to hop in fantasy leagues now. I'm betting on it. So
not betting. I'm good. On
I'm,
it.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm all right. You know, but I did have that depression phase where I didn't want anything to do with sports.
Which I feel like you're not by yourself. I'm sure there's plenty of athletes. Young athletes who go into it thinking they're about to be the best of this, this, and this, and then reality or different things don't work out the way they plan, and then they don't end up making it to the league.
It happens.
Yeah,
it definitely happens. I think one thing that I'm gonna do as a parent, you know, moving forward, is you gotta stop, you know, telling these kids, you know, you about to be this, that, and the third. You gotta, you know, make them work for it, because you start enabling them and they start to really think it, and they take it for granted, and they start thinking, okay, I'm this and that, I'm not gonna have to do this. Reality, you're gonna have to do all that. So
were people telling you were the best
all day long? And I took started taking shit for granted. For sure. I was, you know, I had referees coming up to me after the game telling me shit, and I'm just like, all right, you know, it started getting to my head a little bit.
That's hard. I feel like there's so much pressure that's put on children or teens to perform, and it's like, I played on travel teams growing up, and it's a lot. Like, just
The high school level now is like collegiate level. It's they have everything is different. It's crazy.
And what is it with, like, the NIL deals?
I wish I was playing in this time.
You know what?
Especially with social media now. Social media, can
change. We had no social media, no nothing. Like, I think my highlight reel is put together from our quarterback. And it's like a recording of a record. It's so bootleg. I never got my highlight tape because Covert kicked me out my senior year because I was living on permit. So that really, you know, kind of threw me off. So my summer wasn't really there. I didn't really have time to fully work out. And then when I finally committed, I went to Crenshaw my senior year. And then that's when my first hamstring injury happened. And then I was going to school for that first 2 weeks, and it wasn't school. There was no, you know, it was just you go to class, go to homeroom, and then after that, you're just kind of running around. So I pulled myself out of that, and I went to home studies. I felt like I was the only way to get myself out of it. Mm. So
I think what you said about the pressure that, like, as parents that we could put on our kids, I feel like it's also that same thing of living through your kids.
Vicariously.
Yeah, and I literally looked at Ryder this morning, and she tried out for competitive cheer yesterday. She's doing a fashion show in New York next week, and I'm like, I'm living through my child.
Oh, my God.
But she loves it, so I can't even be mad at it. But I'm like, right. These are all the things I wish I was doing when I was, not her age, but probably,
but
like, older.
It. You did. You
I did it,
cheer.
But not to her capacity. So I was looking at her. Like, wow, you're really living out mommy's dreams. And then when we were looking at schools for Ryder, we're also looking for schools for Ace eventually. And I'm like, oh, they need to go to this school. These sports are great. And Ace, it was like a newborn. I'm like, why are we even thinking about this right now?
Ace is sure going to play ball.
Ace has an arm. So I don't
tell him, just like my
says.
Daddy told me, too. It's going to be the same talk.
It's crazy. But I appreciate you sharing your background. background within fitness and sports with us.
I didn't know it was hard for you to watch football.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Like,
I would only watch it at, like, Super Bowl or playoffs.
Think about watching it with people that you know that you're like, damn, I could be on that field.
That's hard. Yeah, I was going to say that's the hard part.
But that's one thing my dad did say. He said the best talent, the world's best talent is on the streets. Yeah. So, you know, and that sat with me my whole life. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, but yeah.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, Tarhan, give us your background.
All right, well. You want me to go way, way back?
I want you to go back to that moment.
Those years, yeah. So growing up, I guess I like to eat.
Wait, can we go back even before that?
Before you started eating?
Before he started eating. This is family here. Like, who are you today? Like, let's go back to the family setting. Like, we know how Dave knows Zach. How do you and Dave know each other? How is Tur and Bo? How'd y'all fit?
Tur and he is Bo. So Dave, obviously he's my uncle, and everybody, you know, looked up to Dave. Dave was the man. He was Big Bo. He still is Big Bo. Talking about him like no he's Bo. Not here. anyway, yeah, I just, you know, his legs were the size of tree trunks, and, you know, he had a, you know, thick neck. I mean, this guy, he was just...
Football.
Yeah, from football. Yeah, from football.
The thick neck is killing me.
Yeah, you know what? I've never thought about how men describe men until this moment.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was a man's man, and so he was somebody that I idolize, and I still do. And so I wanted to look like him. I wanted to be like him and, you know, the whole thing. And so, you know, that was one of my motivations for wanting to lose weight. But the biggest motivation was I was tired of my sisters punking me.
So wait, what did you look like?
You like to eat.
Yeah, you described how David looked. How did you look back then?
No, that was funny.
I was a chubster for sure. But yeah, big belly. I had a really big butt.
Y'all, I've known Tarhan for like 15 years now, and this man has been fit like the entire
time.
So to imagine him like
with
unfit.
A big butt and a big belly.
it was the Kim Kardashian.
Oh no.
it was pretty bad, and kids made fun of me and my sisters. They had some nicknames for me. Hungry Hippo was one of them.
Damn.
And they.
I'm not laughing anymore.
I'm not laughing because
bullying is not.
Bullying is
not
real.
This just got really serious.
It just got real. No, I'm sorry, but it was difficult. But then, you know, one day, and my dad was pretty hard on me, and he was an athlete too. He was a baseball player, and he wanted me to play baseball and all that. And I was okay. I wasn't great, but.
Wait, are we talking middle school or are we talking high school?
Middle school.
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
middle school. So were you teased at school too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was teased at school. And so I kind of, you know, kind of kept to myself and was always the last kid picked in basketball, if ever picked.
Little assholes.
Yeah. I'm just remembering all this.
Aw, Turhan.
Oh, I'm about to cry.
But can I'm touch okay. you?
Yes, you
okay.
can.
Okay. I'm like, aw. Did you block it out?
I did block it out, actually. But what I would do, though, is this is when my fitness journey began. So I would do sit-ups every single night. And I got to doing, like, literally, 1,000 sit-ups.
A night?
A night.
Oh, yeah, you were going
in. I would do push-ups. My dad would take me out on the track with him. And I worked hard.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to... high school, I was ripped. I really was. I was ripped.
I don't know why I'm picturing like that movie scene where like in the one scene he's like the little chubby kid, then the next scene it's like he's pulling his shirt up at the locker and he's fine as fuck.
Somebody happens to have a water hose and yeah, it's by
just,
him.
Ooh, Tyrann. Did you have one of those moments?
I did actually. No.
So they found out his name was Turhan and not Hungry.
Hippo.
Hungry.
Why you gotta bring the hippo back up?
Yeah, it was a little game, but anyway, yeah. But so when I was about 16 years old, that's when you know I started to grow, and I'm almost the same height as I was.
Yeah, you grew
back then. Yeah, I grew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm almost 6'2". Now I'm not quite 6'2", but. That's why I tell everybody I'm 6'2".
You look 6'3 to me.
but yeah, so that's where it began. But so I started playing volleyball in high school, and you know my dad wasn't happy about that. But it was I could jump. You know I had wheels, I had speed, and you know I had you know great genes, and you know our family is you know we're athletic, we're mm-hmm, athletes, mm-hmm. and. You know, eventually, you know, fast forward here, I, you know, had some accolades in high school, went on to junior college, won a state championship there, went to...
Still playing volleyball.
Yeah, Long Beach State, won a national championship there, and, you know, went on to do a lot of things and played some professional beach volleyball just for a minute.
And, beach volleyball is hard. That's a tough...
Did your dad ever come around?
Yeah, he came to my championship games, but you know, he was, you know, super busy working and things like that. But, yeah, I would have liked to have seen him more, but I think, you know, the baseball, me leaving the baseball mm-hmm. thing, you know, he wanted to, you know, live his life through me in baseball. He was a great baseball player growing up, the whole thing. So, yeah. So, yeah, big bow nose. So anyway, yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
You've like coached.
Yeah,
I've come coached. On. Like, hype yourself up right now. Like, over the year, I've heard different things. And I'm like, wait, what? Turhan did what? Or
yeah, I didn't know you played volleyball. I thought you just coached volleyball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So no, I was a player.
Yeah, I was a baller. Yeah, so I wanted.
Was it 42, 43-inch vertical?
What is that?
I was
48. How 40, high he 48-inch vertical.
Yeah. That's I don't know if y'all crazy. Understand what that is. Yeah.
High. That's really okay, high.
Is it like the long pole with the little tabs that come out and you jump?
He would have went over the top.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
top of that. Okay, so what happened? Why did you say you played professional for a second?
you really needed family support. You needed money because it's an 8-hour a day job. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're going to play on the tour, you had to train all day. I was working. And at the time, I had two little ones, and, you know, I just...
Life took over.
Yeah, mm-hmm. life took over, and, you know, I had to get a real job.
Mm. So it's like one of those things where you need, like, sponsors almost.
Oh, yeah. No, you have to have it. Yeah.
It's like tennis.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Golf, all those types of sports.
You gotta, you're not getting no money unless you're winning, but you're paying to play pretty much.
Is that why they say,
pay your own travel fees, own hotel fees.
Golf is, like, a rich man's sport?
basically.
Yeah. Golf is not, yeah.
It's not cheap.
All them players that's playing in the PGA, they paying their way in there. They still paying their money.
Literally paying to play?
They're paying. They're paying for their own trip to get out there, everything.
Yeah.
They fly offline private jets, too. Mm-hmm. They're paying that money. So they're going there to win. Yeah, you got to pay nutritionists, caddy, everybody.
You got a whole
roster that you're paying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they going, they trying to win.
Yeah, 100%.
I see, like, golf players, I see them get money. Do volleyball players, if they win, do they get money?
Top 10 make a really good living. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you can make a couple million dollars a year.
Nice.
Doing that sport, yeah.
What about, Olympics? Is that, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. Yeah, so the Olympians, typically, those are the ones that make a lot of money because they'll play professional all over the world, mm-hmm. and that's where they get,
like the volleyball circuits.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, that's the ultimate. But I think my excuse me, my claim to fame as a coach is being the first NCAA Division I black volleyball coach in the history of the sport at USC University.
Wow. Yes. See? Kyle said there's more.
There's more. And the crazy thing is, during when I was in high school during the summers, I would go to the USC volleyball camp. And I don't remember what any coach is, but I'm like, sometimes when I first found out, I was like, I wonder if Turhan was there the whole time.
Oh, God.
I wonder if he was a coach that interacted, or I may have seen, and I don't remember anybody. Yeah. But yeah, I used to, they had a good program.
Yeah.
Did you like coaching?
Oh, I love it. It's my passion. Yeah. I can never get away, no matter how, if I'm a billionaire, I'll still coach. That's
what cool. Is it? Is it like the interaction? Is it?
For me, I was, out of control and a wild child. And I had a coach in junior college. They called him Big Daddy. His name was Kay Stanley. And he just kind of, became, a second father, and really put me on the right path, taught me, leadership and honor and integrity and, things that I knew nothing about. And I've always felt like, man, it was such a blessing to me, and I want to give that back. And to see, kids' lives changed and their character changed, which is for me the most important thing. It's so rewarding, and it just wants me, keeps me coming back, So,
yeah. Do you have a coach like that you can think of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach Librato.
Librato?
Librato. Yeah, I used to play with his son. He used to pick us up every day for, no matter where we live. We're living in Westchester. He lived in Culver City. He was picking me up every day, driving us to Palisades for practice. I don't know. Pulled me out of. What was it? Culver City Lancers at the time. He was like, nah, you need to come over here. You're about to play with us at the West Side Bruins. So I don't know. He's my dog. Mm-hmm. So I got to find him.
But, have you ever thought about becoming a coach?
Yeah. But it'll take a lot of mental for me. Like, I'm still trying to get up the mental to go back to Culver to one of the high school games. Because, we get full field access. We come on there, sit on the sideline. I still haven't did that, so. I gotta make that step.
Should
first.
We make this a thing? Like, would you like
Zach go. Steps on the grass?
Would you like a support group?
No, I was gonna go. I was gonna take Ace and Rye one day. Just bring them because they'll let us all on the field. Yes. So just bring the kids up there.
Let me bring my boys too, bro.
I'm
trying to find a field for my kids to run around. They have so much energy.
I just think it's so cool to hear Turhan talk about the impact that a coach had on him to the point where he's like, I now want to become a coach. Where I feel like you have the same.
I feel the same way. Like, I can make that impact on somebody else's life. So, it's kind of just giving back. And I feel like at some point in my life, I'll find it and, go do it.
Yeah.
I feel like the start is, the TurboFit app. Yeah. Just getting my feet wet back in there. So, it'll open up other doors. See where it goes.
I think it's really healthy that males have that, team sport interaction as well. It's still like an individual sport because you have to perform, but being able to work with each other, be able to listen and receive your coach, like you said, it teaches you so much. And those the skills and those little pieces that make you I think a more receptive human or person to discipline or listening or helping or just taking care of yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm happy you guys had these experiences.
Yeah. Taryn, thank you for sharing, especially going back into, like, tapping into your childhood. Got a little emotional here for a second.
Ever think those fables and fairy tales from back in the day are just a little bit dusty? Wandery and Tinkercast are bringing you a new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Join host DJ Fuch and his trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as they deliver remixes of fables and folk tales, rhythm and rhymes, and fun spins on classics as old as time. Grab the whole family and get ready to groove, because they're putting the rap in Rapunzel and getting down with that funky duckling. Where hip-hop and fables meet, it's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to all episodes of Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts. As many of you may know, I have been on a slow boat moving into my house, and I've been so stressed out about how I'm going to decorate and what is going on in my hallways. Thankfully, Framebridge has come into my life. I can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store and print whatever kind of images I want for my home. Whether it's a travel souvenir, my favorite photos from my travels, or just pictures of my kids, I know it's going to get done and it's going to look good. All you have to do is upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging, or visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I can't wait to visit one of their locations. I'm going to take in some of my old concert stubs so I can hang it in my office. I love to see things that I've done and experienced in life, and they motivate me to work even harder. When you think of Framebridge, just remember it's easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. It's fair and transparent upfront pricing based simply on the size of your item. There's a curated selection of frame styles with design experts on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame. There's fast service, free shipping, and it's great for gifts. Order online or get expert help at a retail location near you. And don't forget, happiness is guaranteed. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they'll make it right. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
David, were you a Chubster? Glow up story?
No, he had those trench on thighs and that thick neck.
Was not a Chubster.
He said, I've been fine forever.
but I had a different problem. I was a latchkey kid with very little supervision, and quite literally sports saved my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can just put it out there like that, because I had so much energy. I was doing everything but what I should have been doing, okay? And it was difficult to play sports because I was always the biggest kid in the room. And back then, if you were a certain size, you couldn't play.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you were too large for the whatever.
You either got to go up to the next
really?
Group or you can't play.
Yeah. I grew really early and really fast. So I was, you know, y'all see my kindergarten picture. I'm like the only kid whose legs are all the way down to the ground. Everybody else is, you know.
It's, on the bleachers.
It's hilarious. It's funny. But anyway. And then, you know, I had a single mom. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad was virtually non-existent in my life when I was young. And so, you know, because of that, I had to seek, you know, guidance and everything else elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And my friends became, you know, who I hung with. And, of course, my nieces and nephews who were close in age. My sisters are 20 and 15 years older than me, so my nieces and nephews were pretty close to my age.
So you guys are close in age?
We're seven years apart.
Yeah,
we're like six, 7 years apart. Me and Pam, my niece, me and Pam are like a year and a half. Me and Chris are like 2.5 years.
Got it.
Me and Kim are 4 years.
I used to always trip out when I'd be like, they're the same age pretty much. And they'd be like, Uncle David, and I'd be like, should I be calling him uncle? No, it really had me look at my life like, should I be using uncle and auntie more in my life from like a respectful adult point of view? But okay, back to your story.
Yeah. So anyway, I was lucky to get here.
Yeah.
And so like I said, I was looked to my friends and all that kind of stuff for guidance. And, you know, some of them were in the same situation I was. So what are you going to do? So I kind of got in a lot of trouble as a kid. The elementary school that I was going to at that time, when the neighborhood school, I used to have, my mother used to have to pick me up at lunchtime because I was just too disruptive to be on the yard during lunch and recess.
That's wild. So she would pick you up during lunch and recess and then bring
me
up back?
And then bring me back for class.
David.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a very...
The fact that the school had to, like, have this conversation with a parent and be like...
Would you just, like, eat lunch in the car with your mom?
Yeah, no, it was actually kind of cool because she would take me to cool restaurants and we...
Oh, hell no. You got rewarded for bad behavior.
I would have been at the school throwing soccer balls at teacher, too. I'm going to go with my mama, too.
No, I would have been like, it's not you, baby. You're wonderful. It's them. Let's go eat.
No, they thought I was so crazy. And, you know, I really was. I was hyperactive. I mean, they have names for this stuff now.
Yeah.
But back when I was a kid, it was just like, oh, the kid's out of control, you know, kind of thing. So anyway.
They weren't equipped to
deal with that. Yeah. They didn't know what to do with me. So, well, you got to get him out of here for now, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, but I made it through, you know, went on to junior high school, started playing sports really with baseball. Didn't play football because I was always too big. I couldn't play with kids my age or, you know, that kind of stuff. So
crazy rule, but okay.
It was crazy rule back then. So I started playing baseball, you know, enjoyed that. Just kind of developed a knack for it. Got decent, but I didn't really have a love for it. Mm-hmm. I learned how to play football basically playing sandlot, which means at the park, you know, with a bunch of guys, no pads, nothing, just kind of playing football. So anyway, I sort of cut my teeth there doing it that way. We got to, let's see, about the 10th grade at my high school. Got in high school. I got there and wasn't able to play the first semester because I transferred from another district.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, you had to sit out a semester if you transferred in. They changed that now.
Could you still practice with the team?
No.
You can't do anything.
I couldn't do anything. Yeah, I had to sit out. That rule's gone. It was a dumb rule then, and it's, you know, but it's gone now. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't play. So I ended up just, you know, sitting out that year. That would have been the first year I would have been able to play football.
Yeah.
So I played baseball in that spring or whatever, and everything was cool. And then the following year, I was going to play football. Now, I had never played football, you know, in an organized fashion before, right? So I went out there and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to play receiver. I was tall.
Yeah.
You know, I was big. You know, I had a little bit of speed, but I had no hands. I had hands of stone, so I was like, I wouldn't catch anything.
And they were like, I just imagine David running, thinking, "Oh, I got this!"
And then, "Bling!"
With his thick neck, his tree trunk thighs, and his hands.
That all came later.
And the ball just bounced off his hands, and he's like,
"So by this time, you're in like 11th grade."
Yeah, I'm six. I was always young, the youngest kid in the class. Yeah. So I was 16, and I was I was 16, starting 11th grade.
Still haven't played on.
Or actually, I was 15 starting 11th grade.
Oh, you were young.
Yeah, I turned 16 during the year.
Yeah.
But so I'm 15 years old and I'm out there. And then so the coach says, well, receiver's probably not your position.
Damn.
I said, okay. I said, well, where should I play? You know?
Yeah.
He said, well, why don't we try you at nose guard?
Okay.
Nose guard is a long way from receiver. All right. Yeah. But it's basically you're playing over the center. On defense,
the person who hikes the ball.
Mm-hmm. The person who hikes the ball, and your job is to kick that person's ass.
To block them or
no,
to
kick,
them
kick their ass and find the person with the ball.
Okay.
And that was the training that I got. The coach, because he saw my aggression, I was very aggressive, you know, and I was a big kid. So he said, all right, Bo, this is what I need you to do. That dude right there, wear him out, and whoever has the ball, go get him.
This is like Waterboy.
Yeah. That literally, that was the instruction.
Him.
Tackling
you.
Yeah. So that's literally what I did. And I was able to do it with such efficiency that the first year I played football, I was all city. And I had never even, you know, played before. Yeah. So I'm all city. So all of a sudden I'm getting all these accolades and stuff. And I'm like, okay. So I guess is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Cool.
Right. So the next year they moved me to linebacker. And, you know, I played well and did my thing and stuff. So because the grades weren't perfect. I mean, they weren't as much as they should have been. But they were okay. They were good enough to go. But it wasn't good to go to a major university at that time. So I got a few offers. But I ended up going to JC. So I went to another JC, and was able to be very successful there. I made All-American, you know, All-State, All-American, all that stuff at this JC. And then went on to, to college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I went on to Texas Tech University. I had probably 40 scholarship offers.
Oh, you could say stuff. I just don't say personal stuff.
Like.
Oh,
okay, gotcha. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
So I had about 40 scholarship offers, and I took the one to go to Texas Tech.
Cool.
And went there, and, you know, it's kind of really where the football career really started, you know what I mean? Because I was there and I was able to have a couple good years. I started at Texas Tech, and on draft day, got the call from, you know, Denver Broncos, who called me, and they had a spring program, so they brought in 12 linebackers for the spring. You know, everybody else had to come in the fall, but they brought 12 of us in early, and I was able to have some success, and they cut it down, and four of us ended up there still. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, along comes training camp in the fall. So I went into training camp. You know, I was probably number two or number three behind a guy named Jim Ryan. And unfortunately, I got an injury. You know, I kind of blew out a hamstring. You know, Zach can relate to that.
Will get you.
Yeah. And so at that point, Dan Reeves, who was the head coach then, he pulled me into the office and he's like, you know, hey, Bo, look, here's the deal. We like you. You were out here during the spring. We like what you're doing. We only have so many spots. We're offering you can stay here and you can be on injured reserve and then, you know, come back later. Or we can send you home. Here, we're going to cut you a check. You can go home and you can come back in next fall, back in the training camp. But that would allow us to bring another person in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, okay, what the hell? I was a little homesick anyway.
That's still, I think that's cool that they gave that option. They saw something in you, injured or not. They were like,
right. Well, they like what they saw up to that point.
You were still able to perform and like.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so I went home and, you know, with the, you know, plan to train and get ready, you know, get healed up and all that kind of stuff and go back in the next year. And while I was home, I had a lot of friends that I had gone to school with or whatever, but one of my buddies had gotten on the fire department. Okay. Eugene.
Yeah.
Eugene was on the department.
Rolling. Is that what it
yeah,
was?
Yeah. So I knew nothing about the fire department. I mean, zero. You know, nothing. I just thought, you know, maybe it's a cool job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he rolls up in the baddest 911 Porsche.
And how old are you around this time?
We're 23, you know. So he rolls up in the Porsche. He's got this badass, you know, apartment in the valley and stuff. And I was like, firemen do it like that? I had no idea, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, Bo, you know, this, that, and the other. So I'm like, okay. And he says, you know, just take the test. And it just was one of those windows of opportunity. Mm-hmm. He said, you just go down and take the test, man. And I'm, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to train, get ready to go back and play some ball, you know, NFL or fire department. NFL,
wait, so
fire
back department. Then it was just, you just go take the test.
Yeah. That's yeah. It. You put in the interest card and then they call you. They send you a date.
And damn.
Yeah.
And they
so,
change. This
come
is
on,
the,
put
the
it
way,
back. I want to take the test.
The way to get on the fire department now here is so
well, you
got to
go through a whole it's, school yeah, program.
It's a
then
whole
you
got to
go through the whole physical program. Yeah, it's
a whole thing. But so anyway, I get, you know, I go in and I put in my interest card. They call me, say, okay, come down and take the test. Yeah, you got to put in an interest card. So I go down to Hollywood High School. Okay, it was like 20,000 people down there.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm looking this way. I mean, it's like 10 people wide and like the whole block. And I'm like, wow, I guess I didn't know about all this.
Yeah.
So I stood in line all day. Went in, took the test, you know, knocked that out. I mean, I'm just out of college. Am I going to pass a civil service? Probably, right?
Yeah.
So I get, the, you know, pass the test or whatever, and then that just got fast-tracked. Before I knew it, it was like they were sending me stuff like, okay, you know, come down here for this test. So we get the physical test. I go down there, you know,
They saw him walk in. They said, and, him.
Yeah, exactly.
The like, big one right there.
Yeah, right. He can carry me out the burning building.
Like, it was kind of easy. I get to the physical test, and you got to do
a quarter towel. He looks in shape already.
Right, like, right. So I walked in, like, right out of football camp, right?
Yes.
Knocked everything out, you know, like, scored the highest score, and it almost broke records and stuff. They were like,
Him. Him.
Yeah.
Enter that building.
Exactly. So, you know, boom, get through that. I sit down in the interview. Funny thing is, I go to the interview, and of course, they have my resume. Well, what was your last job in your interview? NFL. That's the first thing they see. So I get into the interview, and they don't even ask me anything about the fire department.
Wait, I have a question. Okay, after you got out of college, did it just go college to like this football experience? Like, were there in between jobs?
No.
Like, was your first job the NFL?
My first real job was actually the NFL. It was very brief.
I don't know why that was so funny to me.
It was very brief, but it was a paycheck, right?
Yeah. No, it's still that. Yeah. It is what it is. That's great.
Okay. So it was hilarious when I think about it. So I go into the interview, and it's like, okay, Mr. Sports, we see you. You've done this, that, and the other. Tell me about Denver. How was Elway?
So they started asking me.
How was Elway?
Damn about no fire department. We just want to know.
I said, well, Elway, I hurt my leg chasing Elway. That's how I got hurt. And I got in trouble for that, too. I was chasing Elway in practice.
You weren't supposed to.
And I got too close to him. They chewed my ass.
Yeah, ain't fucking around with that.
They were like, okay, we appreciate you, but you ain't this dude. Don't touch him. You know, it was that kind of thing.
Nice
right?
try, but no.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm trying to make the team. I'm trying
Wait,
to
Wait, once you got hurt, I don't know if I missed this because Ryder had to go to the bathroom. Once you got hurt and you came home, was there a chance for you to get better to go back?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's why I agreed to leave because they, you know, like I said, they cut me a check and they said, hey, we can either put you on injured reserve, which means I would have stayed in Denver and waited to get well and then, you know, proceeded on with the team.
Yeah.
Or you can go home. We'll cut you a check, and then you can come back in. You already have an open invitation to come back in
once
you're better, yeah, for like the next season or whatever.
No way.
And so that's what you missed. But so anyway, no, it just kind of went from there. And so the fire department opened up, that door opened up, and then I had to make a decision. It's like, are you going to go back, or are you going to, you know, pursue this? And when I thought about everything, the percentage of people that actually have a lengthy career in the NFL. I mean, I was looking at all these stats and everything. Average, I think, NFL career is 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even get a pension until you get 5 years in.
Mm-hmm.
Your likelihood of getting injured is way up here. And then me not being a high draft pick, I mean, being a free agent, I mean, it's even less.
And you went as linebacker, right?
Yeah, I went as linebacker.
That's a high injury position. It's like running back.
So I kind of made a calculated decision. You know, once I found out that the fire department offered all of that, because I had no idea that it was like that. So I was like, whoa, this is a career.
Yeah.
So I just went for it. I jumped on it, and turns out to be probably one of the better decisions I made in my life, because I was able to get have a great career.
Was there ever a moment that you were like, damn, I wish I picked the NFL?
I wouldn't say a moment where I say, damn, I wish I picked it, but there were times where I would just daydream and feel like, wow, you know, I could have done this. Because I saw guys that I played with in college or whatever that were excelling, and I was better than them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One guy in particular, I'm not going to mention his name, but he was an offensive lineman that played for the Bengals, and I played with this guy. He was my teammate in college. And every day I would just destroy this dude. I mean, it was like he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
He could not mess with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he went on to have a 14-year NFL career and made millions of dollars. And I'm like, wow, you know, this cat.
Yeah.
He couldn't even touch me, man, but he was able to do all this. So there was that. And then, I won't say any regrets because, I mean, you know, things went well, you know. And then I was able to have a few outlets. On the fire department, we had like a little sort of a semi-pro team or whatever. So I went out there and played a couple years.
Oh, that's good. And,
you know, so it was fun. I was remember that?
Yeah,
it was L.A. Heat.
I didn't know they had
See. Okay.
Remember L.A. Heat?
I see, yeah.
So I was able to have some fun doing that. And the highlight of that was one year we played LAPD, and LAPD was the team that nobody could beat. So this particular year, I came out for the team and a few other guys that had some NFL experience came out for the team.
Mm-hmm.
We wore LAPD's ass. Goose egg. All right, we beat them like, you know, 21 to nothing or something
he
like that.
Said,
They could not score on us, and I got defensive player of the game.
That'd have been a fun game to play.
On top of
it. So that gave me my little high, my little football high.
Yeah, you were good.
I'm good now.
Damn.
You're like, I got it.
Yeah,
now, yes. Dave, he's on the golf course.
But you're coaching now.
Yeah, I'm coaching now. I just recently started coaching at one of the local high schools here, and it's very fulfilling. I'm having a great time. Matter of fact, as soon as I get done here, I'm on my way to our game, actually.
Who's first game against?
It's Damien. Damien High School.
Damien High School. Never heard of Damien.
Yeah.
Do you like the kids or the guys?
Oh, the kids are great. I mean, you know, the kids that I'm coaching now, they, you know, some of them are kind of privileged kids. It's kind of a prep school or whatever. Yeah. But there's a lot of talent out there, believe it or not. And these kids are freshmen. I got the freshmen right now. So some of them have never played football before.
Yeah, that's cool.
So the cool thing is I get to teach. You know what I mean? I get to teach technique. I can teach all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, like Turner was talking about, inspiring. There's nothing, you know, better than inspiring young people.
Yeah.
You know, it's very fulfilling.
Yeah.
I like this.
I know. It's cool to get to know you guys in, like, this world. We know you, like, in our own family world. Yeah. But when you guys are all talking about, like, your backgrounds in sports, you each get excited, like, in your own way when you're telling your dreams and your stories.
Yeah. It kind of seems like with the age, like, you know, younger to older, it does have that opportunity to come full circle again.
Yeah.
So, Zach, we're going to get you on that field. You're going to watch a game one day. Like, I pray that you're able to enjoy it again. And
when the time is right, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
No pressure.
But I will say Ace does have an arm. And
yeah, he does.
Zach does light up when, like, Ace is going. He's like, go, son.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's thrilling. Coming. Yeah. Definitely.
I feel very blessed that our boys have so many outlets of, like, just male inspiration within, like, sports in a different variety of sports.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, sports, it's truly can be a life. I credit sports with basically saving my life.
Yeah,
because you know I was kind of a knucklehead, you know.
Kind of. Your mom had to pick you up for recess and lunch.
Yeah, then there's that, right? But you know, I mean, it really got me off the streets because you know, being that all that energy I had, you know, and I was a big kid, I was strong, I was athletic, and all that stuff. But that energy, if it was displaced, it was in the wrong direction. You know, it would not be good. I was able to channel it into sports
at a later age too.
Yeah.
So it's like, people who are like, oh, I'm not athletic or I haven't been that athletic person.
Yeah.
You don't know when it's your time.
You never know.
Your journey didn't start later on. Turhan, you decided when your journey started. Mm-hmm. You took hold of your journey and it blossomed into like a long standing like career and journey.
Yeah.
So it's I love sports. I'm excited to live through my kids and their sports life.
Oh, you got a couple
I know their dad
too.
Is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to like not be hard on the boys, I don't like the word perfect, so I always say practice makes permanent. Mm-hmm. And Bob will be like, no, mom, practice makes perfect. And I'm like, whatever, just keep doing it. And like now he's on this thing where every day he wakes up, when he wakes up, he calls his dad, they do push-ups.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's starting him on his little work discipline.
And that is
routine.
So important. Yeah. You know, I just sometimes I think about.
And he's four.
Where I have gone had my dad been involved in my life like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He wasn't, but had he been, I mean, I was able to achieve X, Y, and Z without that. So think if I had that type of encouragement, that type of, you know, pushing and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, I get that.
As a kid. Yeah. So, you know, that's one to give to the grandkids now, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of experience here.
Well, I have no experience with sports, but I'll just – I agree with all you guys. So normally the way we end our podcast, and again, guys, this is going to be two parts. So this is our first part. You guys got to get to know the guys. Next part, we're going to dive deeper into TurboFit app and Turhan's experience with developing the app, Zach's experience being brought into the app. But normally the way we end it is we allow everyone to either give advice or you can share a WTF moment of your week.
Yeah.
It's up to you, whatever you want to do. We'll let you three take it over this week.
Y'all got to do it too. I got my Will's at the house. All right, we just got our yard like trenched too, so it's like nice and flat and it's like fluffy dirt. And we just had this hurricane, fake Hurricane Hillary, just hit us. and it was, you know, it left some puddles in the back.
The word fake with this?
I went, no, this was before the hurricane. I don't know. I went on the balcony, man, and I looked down. My son was butt naked, covered in all dirt. Like, literally looked like he just crawled out of a grave, just covered.
Not a grave.
And just in Crocs, and that's it. And he had, what did he have in his hand?
A shovel.
And a shovel. Running around like, gaga! And I'm looking at Sean like, babe, what are you doing?
He was digging.
Never seen nothing like it.
Zach was so mad.
No, covered. Like, covered. All you could see is little white eyeballs.
Stop.
He was
digging.
He was
probably smiling so hard.
He was so happy.
Oh, he was happy, but
I'm
was
like, let
just...
him dig, Zach. Jesus.
It had me like, what the fuck? So, that was the WTF.
That was a good WTF.
That's actually a funny one.
Yeah, that
I
was good. Zach was looking at me like I was crazy.
And a little shovel, mini shovel.
We let our kids explore.
I was shit. Okay, Dave Turian, you guys got a WTF for advice this week?
Well, let's see, WTF. Make sure that your inflatable air mattress does not have a leak.
Oh.
What?
Oh, I heard, yeah.
Well, the kids, you know, as happens often, the kids stay at our house. The grandkids all stay at our house. And we have a, Marvin and I, we have a blow-up mattress that we'll put up so that we can all be in the same room, but we can't all sleep in the same bed because the kids sleep everywhere.
They sleep wild.
They sleep wild.
They change positions.
So some kind of way. I remember that we set up the air mattress, and the kids were all jumping on it, you know, before they got in it. So they must have dislodged something a little bit. So they all get in bed. So it's Margaret and Ryder and I think Ace. It was just the three of them were over there. Mm-hmm. And so about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess the air came out. The air comes out the mattress, and, you know, they're in the middle, so it turned into a taco. So they all came together.
Damn.
So then I kind of woke up and kind of looked over there, and I kind of went back to sleep. And then,
oh, my God.
And then they all came and got in bed with me, right? So now there's 4 or 5 of us in the bed, and then I wake up and... You know, Ryder's spooning me, her leg is across my neck, and, you know, and it was hilarious. But anyway, that was my...
That was your WTF.
That was my WTF.
It's the fact that you said night. I woke up and they were tacoed and I went back to sleep.
between the tacoing and them getting into the bed, when they were tacoed, at one point, Mom said she rolled off. And then Ryder popped up and rolled off.
The air was displacing.
Oh my god! So they had a little game of popcorn.
That was hilarious.
That is a WTF.
Yeah.
Turhan, what do you got?
Well, I think I'll just give some advice.
Okay.
So, you know, everyone at the table here has had, you know, athletic experience and experience with, you know, coaches and mentors, you know, so we're in the fitness world now. Excuse me. And, you know, there's a saying that I actually kind of learned recently, that it takes one person to gain weight, but it takes two people to lose it. And what that means to me is, you know, everyone's on a journey and everybody needs help and everybody has different situations. Whether it's, you know, emotional, you know, psychological, whatever. But we need to reach out to each other and support one another. And you know, when, you know, we begin to talk about the fitness application, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, building a community and you know, being there for each other. And
I like that.
Being that support.
Yeah.
That cheerleader.
That was good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
That was really good.
Hey. Well said.
Yeah, I know.
That was beautiful.
All right, for the, I think because we don't have time, we should just wrap it. We appreciate you guys coming on here and sharing your stories with us. We're excited for part 2, so make sure you guys stay tuned for next week's upload, where you're going to get to hear all about the TurboFit app. Mm-hmm. And, babe, you want to tell them where they can follow you at?
You can follow me on Instagram at z.terrel.
Where can they find you, Dave?
TurboFit, right?
Yeah, TurboFitApp.com.
That's for both of us.
Yeah, and just look up TurboFit on IG as well, and yeah.
We'll also put all the information down below. But thank you guys for tuning in with us this week. Again, my name is R. You can find me at R. Kyle Lynn.
And you can follow me at Shine That Chai, and you can follow us at Think Loud Crew on Instagram. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And do not forget to tell your crew about our crew. Oh. Yay! Oh, go team!
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.